wrath of God, I would direct you to the 33rd of Deuteronomy and the last verse. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy health, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Deuteronomy 33, the last verse. It is important to know, to realize who this Israel is. They're not all Israel, but are of Israel. Israel was God's national people, but is altogether independent of his own elect people. Happy art thou, O Israel. And thou described in the verse, O people saved by the Lord. That's the Israel. And this is another description of them in the first verse. That's the third verse. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. That's the Israel. Natural Israel never can become the spiritual Israel. The disciples indeed, and Israelites indeed. But I do feel that perhaps unknowingly, or indeed sure unknowingly, that when people read about Israel, they think it takes in the whole of the elect, but it doesn't. People that God chose for a nation, and in that nation he had demonstrated his divine sovereignty in providence in leading them about. I believe that they are the only people that have never lost their identity, and that they are a people to whom many national promises have been made and will be fulfilled. But the fact that a person is an Israelite means nothing with respect to God's elect people. There are those among them that are. There is to be the fullness of the Jews, the fullness of the Gentiles, so that this Israel is the holy election of grace, Jew and Gentile, so that we will leave that point there and then able to. Oh, may we be led into it again. If the Lord brings this happiness into our hearts, we can never forget it. Happy art thou, O Israel. Well, who else is happy? Who else can be happy? Everybody else is under the curse. Everybody else has before them the wrath of God, the wrath to come. And this people of God, they're secured. They're secured in the covenant of grace, chosen by the Divine Father, ere time began, loved with an everlasting love, called in time by sovereign grace, their pathway through life appointed to them. And whatever that pathway may be, the trials, the losses, the pains, the sorrows, the sins, the end is heaven. He's going to prepare a place for this people. Happy are they, oh Israel. He's the only happy person. There is a kind of a happiness, natural, as there are natural pleasures. But all those pleasures will evaporate, fade away, die. Lot of them are artificial, no meaning, no substance. But happy are they, O Israel, the Lord's chosen people in the covenant of grace, secured there, chosen of God. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. Well, my friend, the consideration of this will put things in their right place. If we should see light in God's light, we should see the world as He sees it and as it really is. And we should see riches in the value that the Lord sees them in the Proverbs. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches. There's nothing durable in this world. But if you have anything of the riches that come through Christ, that are durable, that is eternal, that take you beyond the grave. Happy art thou, O Israel. They're happy too because they're the Lord's people, given unto Him by the Father. Thine they were, thou gavest them me. Happy art thou, O Israel. Never concerned as to whether you were one of them. If we could possess the whole of this world, it would bring no real happiness to us. And it would make no difference to us. These riches and honor, which are the Lord's that He gives to His people, it doesn't make them rich in pocket. It makes them rich in grace. What a wonderful thing to be rich in grace. Oh, to have a little grace. He's a happy man who comes into that world. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. I believe it. and it will make Christ indispensable to you. He'll bring you into such teaching as that you must have him, into places out of which he alone can deliver you. He can bring you to the very ends of the earth and then say unto you, look unto me, all the ends of the earth. I'm God, and there's none else, and thy God. Surrounded by him, protected by him, loved by him. Happy art thou, O Israel. There's something in the very sound of that expression that is blessed. And as a blessed person of whom this is true, going along the pews, I often express that and feel it. Sometimes I do overnight. I wonder how many and who this belongs to in this chapel. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee? And then there's a list of things which we can't go into now in the chapter, which make up the blessedness. Now Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath. That is not natural dew, but heavenly dew. And blessed be the Lord for his land. His people have a land. And you notice in the Old Testament that when through their sin the Lord sends them into captivity, he makes this promise that he will bring them again to their own land. Now in your experience, you've got your own land. It may be this chapel or any other where the truth is faithfully preached. And can't you feel that when you come within these walls that the Lord has blessed and made a vessel, that you're in your own land, among your own people. You know their language. And then there's some promises. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. That intimates that the pathway through life will need shoes of iron and brass. You won't go through in bedroom slippers, my friends. Now, like those old-fashioned boots that the farm workers used to use with hobnails at the bottom. And here's the promise. And if we might reverently compare them to those boots, thy shoes under thy shoes to be iron or brass, because it's a thorny road. And we are exhorted to take out the stones and the stumbling blocks. And thy shoes shall be iron and blood and brass. And those iron and brass that are under the shoes are his promises. Promises through the Word of God. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, thy strength shall be. And another thing is this, that thy shoes shall be iron and brass, that you'll be shod with the preparation of the gospel. Oh, to have the gospel in the heart by the Holy Ghost and his indwelling. My friends, you'll get through the roughest pathway. And those of you who have lived long and have found it to be a path of tribulation and a trial of your faith will realize that you would never get through a day except you had upon you these shoes of iron and brass. Happy art thou, O Israel. And it doesn't matter which way you look, if you're one of the Israel. It's comparable with that word, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Tell him so, it shall be well with him. There's no condition attached to it. Because there's no contingency in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the soul, neither is there anything too hard for him, either in providence or in grace. He'll be well with the righteous, well with them while they live, and well when called to die, and well, my friends, with them even in the days of their unregeneracy. There is therefore now, and that now in capital letters, there is therefore now, not will be, not has been, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There never was a time since these people were born and before in the covenant of grace, there never was a time when they were under condemnation. Their sins were, but they were. Their persons were not. Oh, look at the thief upon the cross. It could be said of that thief through his sins and he was thus living, you could say that the thief should be well with thee. No condemnation, not to his person. Mark that, especially you young people. There's a curse upon his sins and he suffered for them. But their sufferings for sin will end when they die. Death, which puts an end to life, shall put an end to sin. Sin cannot damn his people. and other people's sins cannot. It's your own path out there, oh Israel. On that declaration, he makes this challenge. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The wicked are being condemned to eternal death if we die in all they do, wherever they go. But Israel is being saved every day. They need it as sinners, but they're being saved every day through their life, and at last they will be where Christ is. It derives from the sovereign election of the Father and the redeeming love of His dear Son and the work of the Holy Ghost in the heart. And some individuals have this kingdom in them. Happy art thou, O Israel. I do like thee, those. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? Amazing people. They're not numbered among the nations. Not because they're better than they, not the slightest. There's not a single sinner saved because he's a less sinner than somebody else. Sin is a leveler. Different nature of sins, different kinds of sins. But sin is sin. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? Do you know of any people that's like them? Do you know of any people that have got such happiness? Oh, it's the joy of salvation. You can never lose it, but you can lose the joy, but not the salvation. David lost it when he sinned, but he prayed, "Restore unto me the joy of salvation." He didn't pray, "Restore unto me salvation." He was saved and knew it. He was a man of God. But restore unto me the joy. Oh, what a joy there is when salvation is in exercise by the Spirit in your soul. And when that salvation is actually concerning some sins that are outstanding. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing, a wonderful feeling. I read somewhere lately of an experience of one who said he was a sinner and had no sin, just before he died. He said, "I'm a sinner without sin." And the Lord had so pardoned his sin before he took him home. "Happy art thou, O Israel." Who is like unto thee? Well, the worldling would say, I don't want their happiness. They're bigoted. They won't allow this, they won't allow that. You mustn't go there, you mustn't do that. A miserable lot of people. To feel the influence of the grace of God in your heart, especially times when something spontaneously rises up in your heart. No meditation. Expect nothing, but the dew from heaven descends upon your branch. Your heart softens and breaks. It renews a right spirit within you. David wanted that, and it is so important. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. And spirit is the most dangerous thing there is. An evil spirit, a devilish spirit, is what's the matter with the world. It isn't a thing. You can't take hold of it. But the power of it is not the ammunition that is killing many innocent people, but it's the spirit that holds it. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. So that there are no real pleasures except those which come from heaven. Oh, and if they touch your heart, it's a joy that can never be expressed. Happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat? Oh, tell me where. Learning, pleasure, wealth, or fame all cry out, "It is not here." You believe it? Oh, a glimpse of the Lord, and yet such a sinner, and often afraid that he had nothing more to do with me. I've had them every time, my friends. I know in my little measure what we were trying to speak about on Friday. I think it was Friday. About Jonah. Happy Jonah. Dwell with him. Happy Daniel in the lion's den. The Lord close their mouths. Who is like unto thee? Who would you change places with? I would not speak a wrong word. It's difficult in the pulpit, you may do, but there are. Hope the Lord will keep me. I wouldn't for all the riches in Brighton. I give up a good health through grace, in the presence of the Lord, the communion with Him. Who is like unto Thee? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and His secrets are precious. He only speaks unto those that fear His name. And it's a blessed religion too, that you have alone with God. But you were tried. There are tried people. The world are not tried as to what their state for eternity is. They don't believe in eternity. They will one day. But who is like unto Thee? The honors, riches and honor are mine. He says it in the Proverbs, the 8th chapter. And that's just what the world are looking for, riches and honor. Worldly honor, worldly wealth, to be looked up to attain to some high position. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Oh, you do see the world then as it is. You wouldn't covet being a prime minister, although to be a prime minister is a wonderful honor and an honorable honor, if I might so say, if it is used rightly. And there are many things in the world that His people may enjoy, and He's given them to enjoy. And you'll find in the Ecclesiastes, in one place, He speaks of those lawful things that the Lord has given His people to enjoy. But the world itself is vanity and vexation of spirit. Who is like unto Thee, O people, saved by the Lord? We can never reach the depth of that little phrase. O people, saved by the Lord. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and if left to themselves, would add iniquity to iniquity. The world would not be safe to live in. But this is a people saved in the first place from their condition in which they were born. Saved from it. And that by having a new nature, by being born again, by being brought into real union with the Lord Jesus, He who is incomprehensible to the human mind, He who built the world and everything in it, to have such a real union to Him is a mystery. The nearest thing is the marriage union here. And it is a marriage union with the Lord. But it is more than that. You cannot partake of anything of your wife Have these people partake of what Christ is. They partake of his life. The unsearchable riches that are his, because all things of the Lord, the world, and they that are in it. And there's another thing. The real riches of this world are not gold and silver, nor banknotes. They are simply tokens. Banknotes only worth the paper it's written on, so far as the token is concerned. The true riches and righteousness from union to Christ to partake absolutely of what he is a mystery that it can be given and transferred from himself to his people. If they have the life of God in their soul, it's the life of Christ. Not something outside of himself that he communicates to them, but it is his own life. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Are saved from themselves what they were and made new creatures in Christ Jesus, and they're saved from the world. Naturally we're all in the world. We've got sufficient of a supposed righteous contentment in the world. But if they are our happiness, what bitterness there is in some. But this people have a blessing with which he adds no sorrow at all, no sorrow, no disappointment. There's no maybe about it. His immutability can never change what he has done or what he has given. None can take it away. None can give it but him. Oh, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. One could lay down in this 29th chapter and rest in the Lord. You'd have riches, my friends, that the world knows nothing of. Oh, people saved by the Lord. You are saved too by from indwelling sin, especially that greatest sin, unbelief. All the damage it does, but nothing of the greatest power can overcome the grace of God. If God was not who he is, and Christ and the Blessed Spirit, my friends, you would never be saved. All this safety, all this happiness, all this godliness with contentment derives from God himself. this union, partaking of Him, of His Spirit. The shield of thy health, and who is the sword of thy excellency. So we've got enemies. He said to Abraham, fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Two things. When he sent Abraham that he should have to receive for an inheritance, he didn't know where it was. He went out and knew not where he went. But he said, fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield. You need it. There's enemies. It's a hostile country. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The reward's at the end. The reward is heaven. And it's exactly the same position as Moses when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. All the world would say, here's happiness. If the queen could take one of you and take you as a son or a daughter, and take you into platinum pads and make you her family, it'd be a great thing. Oh, but Moses saw heaven, and therefore a place, a highest place in this earth looked a poor affair, a poor, dusty, miserable affair when he saw heaven. And if you ever have a glimpse of Christ, you will behold His beauty. And it was all that the psalmist desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord. And what beauty is there like incarnate deity? The glorious eternal God the Son in human nature, sinless, in love to His people, come to suffer. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved. I have felt, and I have said to the Lord, all I need to be saved from is myself. Nothing outside of yourself can do you any harm. Nobody else's sins. It's you. And therefore, happy art thou, whoever you are. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. Look round at the world. Look at some, well, you know, we are apt to do that. I said, did. To backslide at times, to show them what they are and who He is and what His precious death has done and what He saved them from and what He saved them to. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, who is the sword of His excellency. Thine enemies shall be found liars and liars. The enemy at times will so puppet his people and puppet them, and and get them to believe that all their religion is mere fancy, that they'll never experience what they think they will, that there's nothing in it. And as we were speaking the other day, the devil will say, this is but that you're following fables. And then when some trial comes, the devil will say to the Lord that you profess to have could have prevented that, but he didn't. Oh, saved by the Lord from every conceivable evil and calamity and sin and hell, saved from hell, and not only saved from these things, but what you're saved to, you're saved to communion with Him, saved to be with Him in heaven and see Him as He is. Happy, happy art thou, O Israel.